I don't know. Feel uncomfortable not wearing a tie. I think this is the first, maybe not the first, but one of the few times that I have preached without a tie on. But it seems fitting, one, because it's the 4th of July and we celebrate our freedom, we celebrate our independence. I'm not bound by a tie. But also the subject matter that we are addressing this morning. I don't know if all of you know this, but I will share that my favorite color is gray. I love the color gray. Gray is awesome. Let me tell you why. Gray is strong, like steel. Gray is mysterious, like a storm cloud. Gray is fragile, like ash. Gray is great. But I am questioning my assumption of the greatness of gray. Because I have read this passage of scripture that Desmond read for us this morning. These verses that we have before us might be too gray. There might be too much gray in these verses. There's a word that theologians use. It's called adiaphora. Adiaphora is defined as matters that have no moral merit or demerit, or religious, ceremonial, or ritual observances that are held to be an affair of the individual conscience because it's neither forbidden nor enjoined by the scriptures. In other words, these are what Paul mentions in Romans 14, verse 1, that we looked at last week, as disputable matters. There are a lot of them. There are a lot of things that have no moral or immoral merit. Things that you can't flatly say, based on scriptures, they are right or they are wrong. Observances and rituals that we have in our lives that are a matter of conscience instead of a matter of scripture. There are matters, and there are a lot of them, about which the scriptures are silent. Things that are neither clearly right or clearly wrong. However, the scripture has much to say about the silent matters that we are addressing today. Last week we heard that we ought to accept those whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. That we ought not to judge one another. And Paul continues and in a way concludes this argument with the verses that were read for us in verses 13 to 23. And if we look at these verses, we have to look at them as a whole because Paul's argument is somewhat circular. He starts and ends in the same place and adds things in the middle and then re-brings them up again. And so the first thing that we need to look at as we look at verses 13 to 23 is found in verses 13 to 15, that our actions have an effect on others. I'm sure you know that. What we do affects those around us in a positive or in a negative way. Let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. And actually, I appreciate that Desmond read the King James because the King James captures fully what is being said here. It's a play on words. It's the same verb that we should not judge one another. Instead, the only thing we should judge is whether or not we are an obstacle to someone else. The only matter worthy of judgment in our own minds is how we are affecting others. We can serve as an obstacle to faith in others. And that is no small matter. Paul warns us, the Holy Spirit warns us, that we ought to make up our minds. We ought to judge our actions so that we do not put any stumbling block or obstacle in another's way. The term here for stumbling block is literally that, something that causes someone else to stumble, to trip, to fall. The word, however, for obstacle here in the NIV is the word scandalon. We get the word scandal from it. And we think of the TV show maybe on Thursday nights, or we think of a political scandal, which is sort of tawdry. But really what a scandal is something that causes immense trouble. And from these verses, from other places where this word scandalos is used, it really means spiritual downfall. It implies that we are tripping not only to cause ourselves harm, but tripping into sin. And that tripping can be, as Paul goes on, a source of distress. Verse 15, if your brother is distressed, meaning caused pain, if it hurts someone else by what you're doing, you ought to stop. Ultimate destruction. Do not, later on in verse 15, do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Ultimate ruin. We think, oh, it's no big deal. I have the right to do things. I have the freedom to do things. But it causes harm. And it can lead to ultimate destroying. Ultimate ruin. And so we ought to judge ourselves, because we do not want to be an obstacle, a trap, a scandal for someone else's faith. The opposite of this is that we serve as an example of love. Verse 14. Actually, verse 15, sorry. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. This again is no small matter. How we act affects those around us. If we provide a stumbling block, if we provide an obstacle, it could lead to their downfall. But if we act in love, it can lead to their building up. Jesus gave a parable about stumbling blocks and judgment and valuing love over secondary matters. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, talk about the parable of the sheep and goats. That there's going to come a time when God will separate the faithful from the unfaithful, the faithful from the faithless. And it's not based on what they eat. Sheep and goats eat the same thing. It's not about where they go. They go the same places. It's not about following the shepherd's lead. They follow the shepherd's lead. They're separated because they are two different kinds. And God says, Jesus says, that it's not disputable matters that cause separation. It's based on compassion, about acting in love. The sheep are the ones that go to the prison and go to the hospital and feed the poor. And the sheep in this parable say, "What? When did we see you do this or see you do that? Whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers, you do for me." And then he takes the goats and says, "You didn't do any of these things." "Well, when did we see you?" "Whatever you didn't do for the least of these, my brothers, you didn't do for me." That we could be instruments of love. We could be examples of love. We could be showing kindness to those around us. If only we could cease to be a stumbling block. As the first of these 12 verses in the chapter state, God alone is equipped to judge. And we must not damage another person's faith because of our own personal judgments. What we do affects those around us. And so we ought not to be a stumbling block, which leads to harm and destruction. We ought instead to act in love, which leads to righteousness, peace, and joy, all in the Spirit. Which leads us to the second point. We need to prioritize for the sake of all. We need to determine how we're going to live and prioritize our actions, prioritize our freedoms, prioritize our liberties. I was talking to Janine yesterday, and we were at a stoplight. A stoplight. And in front of us was a car that was turning right and could have moved. And I said, I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow because this person had the right to move, to take a right on red. There was no sign. And yet he stood there, and I was thinking, why isn't he moving? But just because we have a right, maybe he saw something I didn't. Maybe he sensed some danger. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you must do something. And that's why we prioritize. This is what Paul is saying here in verses 16 through 19. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. It is an absolute truth. Paul has said it twice in these passages, that there is nothing that is unclean in and of itself. We can eat whatever we want to eat, and God is okay with that. We can smoke or consume alcohol or cuss, and God is probably okay with that. Our freedom in Christ allows us to do all the things that are not specifically prohibited. Now, let me give you a caveat here. And we'll get to this in just a moment. That just because we can do something doesn't mean we should do something. Just because the Bible does not say, don't use certain words. The Bible doesn't say, you can't use this word, this word, this word, this word, and this word. Doesn't mean you can use them all you want. Unwholesome talk means language that is not healthy, uplifting, supportive of others. Cursing is not swearing. Swearing is not swearing. Cursing is calling down a curse on someone. Swearing is something that we swear, give an oath. Cussing, on the other hand, is the use of profanity, which the scriptures are strangely silent about. Smoking. The consumption of alcohol, but not drunkenness. Just some of the issues. Our freedom in Christ allows us to do these things if they are not specifically prohibited. Because the kingdom of God is not a list of do's and don'ts. The kingdom of God is not what we eat. The kingdom of God is not what we drink. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Salvation by grace, not by behavior. Being declared right before God through the salvation of Jesus Christ. Fulfilling His will by being obedient to His word. Peace in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is of unity by grace, not unity by consensus. We don't poll and say, is this an appropriate behavior? Is this not? No, it's that we belong because, and we are family because God has adopted us. And that brings us contentment in Christ. Joy in the Holy Spirit. We savor the gifts of God, the salvation of God, the forgiveness of God. We do not seek happiness, but rather the fullness of the fruit of the Spirit. And if we do these things, instead of focusing on the secondary matters, the adiaphora, if we focus on righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, we please God and we're honored by those around us, respected by those around us. Our priorities must align with God's. And the priority is always, always, always love over license. I have the right, but I am going to suppress my right for your benefit. Verses 20 to 23 tell us that we must never cause another to stumble. And that's our third point. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Verse 20 says, again, all food is clean. We must act in ways that lead to peace and the building up of others. And that means we show restraint instead of letting another fall into sin. There are things that are more important than personal liberties. And while something may be permissible, it is not always beneficial. Don't destroy the work of God. Don't destroy someone's salvation. Don't destroy what God is building over food or any of these other issues. Exercising our right to do something is not always right. We must consider the harmony of all believers, and we must consider the strengthening of all believers. That we have peace and edification, which is the building up of others. Our personal convictions must never lead to destruction. You realize that God's work in another's life, all the, not salvation, we can't take away someone's, just like we cannot save someone, we cannot condemn someone. But we can damage and destroy all the infrastructure that goes into someone's salvation. When there's a building and you have all the scaffolding built up, we're ready to start building and we've laid the foundation and we've gotten all the skeletal work done. And then someone comes along and knocks it all down. Now, how does that happen in the life of a believer? Sometimes it's peer pressure. Sometimes peer pressure leads a weaker believer to violate their own convictions. Well, I saw this person doing it, and despite the fact that I always thought it was wrong. I guess it isn't wrong. Or something that I know is wrong isn't wrong anymore. That's one half of it. The other half is that we could flaunt liberty so greatly that it causes others to see us as hypocritical and therefore reject God's work in our lives. And it's not just for others. Our own lives, our own faith can be harmed and hurt. When we focus on disputable matters, when we allow our personal convictions to override Scripture, our own faith can be damaged. Romans 14:14. If anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. Extra-biblical moral judgment is fluid. In that, the Spirit can direct one believer differently than another believer. For one believer, drinking may be off-limits, and therefore for that believer, it is sin. For another believer, drinking may be accepted for a time. It's part of God's process of sanctification or holiness making, that God deals with us as we are. And for some of us, some temptations are not as profound as other people's temptations. And so God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit and impresses upon us, this is not good for you. Now the danger is when we start thinking that what's not good for us is not good for everybody. And that's what Paul is trying to address in these verses. It would do us well to remember verse 23. The man who has doubts is condemned if he eats because he's eating not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. If you think something's wrong and you do it anyway, that's sin. Whether there's a biblical mandate or not, it's always better to say, you know what? I'd rather not. Maybe it's wrong, maybe it isn't wrong. But I have a doubt that it might be wrong, so I'm going to withhold. Whether that's because of who's around us or because of a personal conviction about how God is working in our lives. Our sermon in a sentence is this. The road God longs for us to walk with others is marked by love and not limits. It's important for each of us to have convictions about what's right and wrong for us as individuals. But where the Scriptures are silent, we ought to lead with love, focusing on righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I came up with a small list of things of which they are disputable matters. The use of alcohol, smoking, psychoanalysis, homeschooling, political affiliations, Bible translations, cussing, R-rated movies, serving in the military, hunting. Those are two separate things. Serving in the military, hunting, meat eating, use of marijuana. These are all important matters of which you ought to prayerfully consider how the Holy Spirit is leading you and your personal convictions. And whatever you choose, I am sure will be okay. because the scriptures say nothing about these matters. However, we ought to lead with love and not limits. And therefore, if you think something's right, you need to check who's around you, because you don't want to cause harm or destruction. If something's wrong, you don't want to look around and say, well, what does everyone else think? We must never allow our personal freedoms to be the cause of our or another's destruction, no matter how we feel about these secondary disputable issues. It's not our place to judge whether someone's right or wrong. The road God longs for us to walk with one another is marked by love and not limitation. Shall we pray?